The United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Oh, so you think bankrupting a hedge fund is funny? Reddit. I do, and I'm tired of pretending it's not. Wow, okay. That's a pretty loaded meme right there. What makes this meme and others so loaded? Let's talk about that. Hi everyone, this is Amber, coming to you from Worcester, Massachusetts as a college student and a member of the meme generation. Welcome back to What Do You Meme? The podcast series I've been working on for the Communication and Media Capstone Seminar at Assumption University. This is episode 2, Easy Money. Question mark at the end of the title there. I'm really excited for this episode because I get to talk about not one, but two things that have been a part of my growing up. Those things are memes, of course. And GameStop. You know, GameStop, the place that would buy your car trunk full of games back for $3.50, maybe $4.50 if you were to throw in the car too. Yeah, that was a meme reference. I'm talking about GameStop memes today and just how complex the situation surrounding them is. I'm going to get into some of the memes surrounding the current situation with GameStop stocks, but I want to give a little background first. In order to understand these memes, we need to have at least some knowledge of current events. The same goes for making memes. As I said in my first episode, making a meme only requires a little bit of thought and effort. While it's pretty easy to make a meme in general, in order to make one that's successful or actually becomes popular, you need to have at least some knowledge and understanding of current events. Now, you could certainly make and throw a random meme out there, but that would likely be a waste. And as Henry Jenkins, professor of communication, journalism, cinematic arts, and education at the University of Southern California says, a meme is a terrible thing to waste. I'll talk a little more about him later. The whole GameStop situation is rather complex. But I think Reddit user RedditLurker2001 makes a good attempt at breaking it down with this analogy. I'll summarize it for you because the original post is quite lengthy. So, anyway, imagine that there's this rich kid named Melvin. And Melvin finds a coupon for $20 off the new Nintendo Switch console during the holidays. And there's no limit on the number of units that he can purchase. So Melvin decides to sell the console for $200 and then buy it again later for $180 using the coupon. That'll be an easy $20 earned, right? So Melvin sees this as a big business opportunity and decides to go and tell all his friends' parents that he can get them the Nintendo Switch for their kids too. He collects $200 from 150 different parents in town. He'll have collected 30K. So with that coupon, he can purchase the Switches for just 27K. That's an easy 3K earned, right? No, not if another kid's been watching the whole time. So let's call this other kid Keith. Keith and his friends decide to buy all the Switches available at GameStop. So when Melvin goes later to that GameStop and asks for 150 Switches, he's going to be really disappointed. So Melvin has to fulfill these orders and get his hands on the Switches somehow. But there's this big problem. The price that Keith's friends are demanding for a Switch is absolutely insane, and it keeps on going up. First they ask for $1,000, then they ask for $2,000, now they're asking for $3,000. The holidays are fast approaching, and these parents are absolutely desperate to get the Switch that they promised to their kids. And they can't exactly trust Melvin to get them one, so what do? They all start bidding against each other. So now everyone in town is in on the action, and they want a Switch to sell for $10,000. That's a lot of money. But meanwhile, Keith and his pals, where are they? Oh, they're just hanging out, chilling, and playing video games. They don't have a care in the world. I like and dislike that analogy for a few different reasons. The biggest reason that I like it is because it uses simple language to explain such a complex situation. It makes it easier to begin to understand some of what happened. But the biggest reason that I dislike it is because it only tells one side of the story. It only tells the story of those whose investments have paid off for them, and that's people like Keith, for example. Yeah, Keith is a real person. His full name is Keith Gill, and he's known on YouTube as Roaring Kitty, and on Reddit as Deep, a word that I probably shouldn't say, Value. He is an American financial analyst and investor, and he's best known for the content that he's posted on those two websites. And I'd say both his content and all the memes surrounding GameStop really played a significant role in sparking the whole stock investment frenzy. Yes, I said memes too. So, how come? Well, for starters, the memes appear to play on emotions. They lead people to believe that if others have been so successful and have made easy money through their investments, that they can too. So, allow me to share with you the types of memes, jokes, and posts that I think create this illusion. So, these aren't necessarily memes, they're tweets, but they relate to some of the memes floating around though, so I thought that I'd include them. It looks like they're from the same reporter, Griffin Malone. They're in response to a post on the subreddit forum r/WallStreetBets. So that post on the subreddit was just saying how this one random Reddit user can now pay for their family's expensive medical treatments and also afford surgery for their dog. So this reporter replied in tweets saying, "You can't convince me this isn't hilarious and completely worth a hedge fund going out of business." And a hedge fund loses billions while random Reddit users pay for their family's surgeries and save their dogs. I mean, come on, that's just great. And then there's also this meme, for example, too. And I think this is a good one. It says, "The top five richest people in the world." And it goes on to list Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Bernard Arnault, who is the CEO and chairman of LVMH, Moët Hennessy, Louis Vuitton, and a random Reddit user by the name of Potato Head. And then there's a random Stonks meme mannequin guy just slapped on the end there. Yeah, I said Stonks. That's just what people who make these types of memes call stocks. It's just some sort of weird internet slang. So I think the problem with this meme, among the countless other memes, jokes, and posts out there, I think is that it could potentially lead other people to think, hey, if one random Reddit user can do it, then maybe I can too. Not necessarily Potato Head, though, because I think that was just made up for the sake of this meme. I would say that that thought points more towards Keith Gill, because, again, he's a Reddit user and his investment really paid off for him. And he even talks about that a bit in the testimony that he delivers at the GameStop hearing.
Thank you, Chairwoman Waters, Ranking Member McHenry, members of the committee. I'm happy to discuss with the committee my purchases of GameStop shares and my discussions of their fair value on social media. It is true that my investment in that company multiplied in value many times. For that, I feel enormously fortunate. I also believe the current price of the shares demonstrates that I've been right about the company. A few things I am not. I am not a cat. I am not an institutional investor, nor am I a hedge fund. I do not have clients, and I do not provide personalized investment advice for fees or commissions. I'm just an individual whose investment in GameStop and posts on social media were based upon my own research and analysis. I grew up in Brockton, Massachusetts. My family was not wealthy. My father was a truck driver, and my mom a registered nurse. I was one of three kids and the first in my family to earn a four-year college degree when I graduated from Stonehill College in 2009. That was not a good time to be looking for a job. From 2010 to 2017, I worked at a few startup companies, but there were significant periods when I was unemployed. I took an interest in the stock market, and even though I had very little money, I used those times to educate myself and learn more about investing. In 2019, after nearly 2 years unemployed, I accepted a marketing and financial education job at MassMutual. My wife Caroline and I were thrilled that I had an income and benefits. My job was to help develop financial education classes that advisors could present to prospective clients. I was not a stockbroker or a financial advisor. I did not talk to clients, and I did not recommend stocks for them to buy. Before and after I joined MassMutual, I studied and followed stocks. One of those was GameStop. In early June of 2019, the price of GameStop stock declined below what I thought was its fair value. I invested in GameStop in 2019 and 2020 because, as I studied the company, I became more and more confident in my analysis. Two important factors, based entirely on publicly available information, gave me confidence that GameStop was undervalued. First, the market was underestimating the prospects of GameStop's legacy business and overestimating the likelihood of bankruptcy. I grew up playing video games and shopping at GameStop, and I plan to continue shopping there. GameStop stores still provide real value to consumers and reliable revenue for GameStop. Second, I believe that GameStop has the potential to reinvent itself as the ultimate destination for gamers within the rapidly growing $200 billion gaming industry. GameStop has a unique opportunity to pivot toward a technology-driven business. By embracing the digital economy, GameStop may be able to find new revenue streams that vastly exceed the value of its business. I am hardly the only person who has advocated these points. When I wrote and spoke about GameStop on social media with other individual investors, our conversations were no different from people in a bar or on a golf course or at home talking or arguing about a stock. Hedge funds and other Wall Street firms have teams of analysts working together to compile research and analyze shares of companies. Individual investors do not have those resources. Social media platforms like Reddit, YouTube, and Twitter are leveling the playing field. The idea that I use social media to promote GameStop stock to unwitting investors and influence the market is preposterous. My post did not cause the movement of billions of dollars into GameStop shares. It is tragic that some people lost money, and my heart goes out to them. But what happened in January just demonstrates again that investing in public securities is extremely risky.
This whole case is really fascinating to me. The case started through a class action lawsuit brought against Keith Gill back in February. I think it was sometime in mid-February to get a little more specific, so it really wasn't too long ago. It was filed in federal court right here in Massachusetts and alleged that Gill pretended to be a novice trader despite being a licensed financial education professional. He never really disclosed that to his audience. The lawsuit also seems to be built around the idea that Gill used social media to promote GameStop stocks and influence the market, which, as he mentioned, he believes to be a preposterous notion. Now, I don't know if I would say that it's entirely preposterous, though. I checked out his YouTube channel, and while I'm sure that he's a big fan of GameStop and really likes the stock, I get the impression that the channel was created for the purpose of promoting it. And I guess this is where I can see some slight manipulation happening too. He could still be held accountable for his social media influence. In today's world, I don't think we always realize just how much power an online platform can have, be it YouTube or Reddit, and how the emotions that stir up within us after watching certain content get loaded into memes. While most memes out there are harmless and rather funny, some of them are deadly serious, as Professor Henry Jenkins says, which I think is the case here with GameStop memes. Jenkins also states that, quote, platforms such as YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook are based on content that is spread by individuals through their social networks and may scale up to mass levels within hours. End quote. I think that we can also see this with the popularity of GameStop memes and how they've circulated around online. People who are within this social network on YouTube and Reddit viewed the content surrounding or relating to GameStop stocks and reacted based off of what they felt and or understood about the content's subject matter emotionally. They made memes based upon their emotional reaction to and or understanding or interpretation of the content that they saw, and they repackaged that content to pass along to others. And as it kept getting passed along, some people may have added their own spin to it based upon their own initial thoughts and reactions to it. And that's how we get all these different memes and variations of them. Normally, I'd say that lots of different memes are great, but in this case, I think it's the exact opposite. I think in the case of GameStop memes, it's easy for bits and pieces of information to be misinterpreted or blown out of proportion. And as I said earlier, this can create this illusion of, if one random person on the internet can make easy money, then maybe I can too. And then some people go ahead and invest. Then what happens? They lose tons of money. Some gamble away their future because they're just so hyped to become a millionaire. And yes, there are memes out there about this too. Those memes in particular appear to be centered around users of the trading app Robinhood, from what I've noticed. And some of the people who do this, whether through apps like Robinhood or not, will then wonder where they went wrong. And others, sadly, have been driven to self-harm. And there are memes about that too, which is rather sick if you're asking me. So, if the bits and pieces of information that are expressed within some of these memes have proven to be dangerous through certain instances, then why are they being made? I think this clip from Mackenzie Finkley's TED Talk on internet meme culture might just help to answer that question.
And in 1976, evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins coined this term meme in a novel about evolutionary genetics. What do memes have to do with evolutionary genetics? Well, meme is a word. Oh, that's Richard Dawkins, by the way. Meme is a word which models itself after the word gene and is a shortened version of my meme, the ancient Greek term for imitated thing. Dawkins argued that memes, or cultural ideas, spread throughout generations in the same way that genes do. For instance, a biological trait like brown hair passes from parent to child, so does cultural information. Like my dad taught me how to ride a bike, his dad taught him how to ride a bike, and I will likely someday teach my own children. So a meme is a cultural idea, and this can be almost anything. And Dawkins argued that cultural ideas replicate in the same way that genes do, in an imitating fashion. Monkey see, monkey do. And humans have a desire to belong, and what better way to belong than by doing what everyone else is doing, right? Though my mother always told me, if everyone was jumping off a bridge, then would you do it too? And the obvious prompted answer is, no. But for most things, yes, we jump off that metaphorical bridge. We imitate because we want to belong.
Much like genes, memes, which contain these cultural ideas, get passed down from one person to another. We imitate memes, we copy them or add our own spin to them, because we want to belong. So some may choose to join in because they see most everyone else online talking about these memes. The desire to fit in, to belong to something, some collective group, is what drives the action. The action, in this case, being to make and share another GameStop meme, which may blow some piece of information out of proportion. The truth is, for most people, there really isn't such a thing as easy money. Not everyone can be a winner when it comes to investing. Just because one seemingly random person was able to make an investment that ultimately paid off for them, that doesn't mean that it will happen for everybody else. That one seemingly random person, that person being Keith Gill, didn't give their audience all the details. although he has a disclaimer on his Roaring Kitty YouTube channel, which states that his aggressive investing style is not likely to be suitable to everyone who may stumble upon his content, that disclaimer doesn't mean very much because he didn't reveal his background as a financial educator who knows what he's doing and who has some knowledge of how the system works. This just goes to show that you have to be careful with what you choose to create and share online, as what you post could have a huge impact. It could become something far bigger than yourself. Yeah, even memes. So, while there is this tendency to think of memes as being inherently silly or bizarre, I think that GameStop memes serve as just one pretty powerful example of how meme culture and online group participation could go wrong. But what motivates online group participation? What encourages someone to jump off of that metaphorical bridge? According to Henry Jenkins, there are three main factors at play. There is the social factor, which I've discussed. People want to fit in or belong to a collective group. But there are also cultural and economic factors that should be taken into consideration because they are at play too. As Jenkins states, quote, "This economic logic or factor behind meme creation relates to the attention economy governing contemporary societies. In short, it claims that the most valuable resource in the information era is not necessarily the information presented, but rather the attention that people pay to it." End quote. So, for example, something like Amazon, which I discussed in episode 1, is a pretty easy target for meme creation. And part of that is because of all the attention that we pay to it as a company. There's plenty of information out there on Amazon, and it all seems to be pretty easily understood by most people. So it's pretty easy for us to mock the issues surrounding it. In the case of GameStop stocks memes, though, it's not nearly as simple. While there's tons of information out there regarding what's going on, it's not as easily understood by everyone. And I think this is why, as Jenkins says, it's not always about the information out there surrounding an issue. Sometimes the most important thing is the attention that the issue is getting, or what concepts and ideas people are paying attention to specifically. And this is where it can get dangerous, because in order for some people to even begin to understand something as complex as what's going on with GameStop, they'll turn to the most popular content to see what other people are saying. It's easier for us to do that sometimes, rather than taking the time to try to interpret something for ourselves. We take shortcuts like this. What's this other person's reaction? What's their understanding? Is it coming from personal experience? To answer that last question, yeah, it does sometimes come from personal experience. But here's the thing. One other person's personal experience with or take on such a complex topic, whether it's expressed in a YouTube video, a Reddit post, or even in memes, is not the whole story. It's only a small piece of it. And oftentimes, it's an oversimplification, too. And that's how things can turn into this almost out-of-control game of cultural selection when it comes to this constant generation of new online content. We pick and choose what to look at, which is oftentimes based upon what's getting the most attention, and then regurgitate whatever we see and or hear based upon our own personal understanding or emotional reaction, which can sometimes have a very serious real-world impact. Now, I just want to say that not all memes are bad. And yeah, I know, I spent pretty much this entire episode bashing memes. Well, not exactly bashing memes. It's more like a certain category of memes and a certain category of online content, too. But I want to go back to something that I'd said a little earlier in the episode. So, as I said, something which appears to be as inherently silly or bizarre as a meme can have a huge impact. It could become something far bigger than yourself. And yeah, while it's not always in a good way, as we saw here in this episode with the case of GameStop stocks memes and all the other content, jokes, and posts that are surrounding this topic, and how sometimes the creation or generation of this content can spiral out of control and turn into this game of cultural information selection, I do think that some online content and some memes can actually be positive. And some memes that I think do this are, believe it or not, coronavirus memes, or pandemic memes, or 2020 memes. I think they can go by a couple different names. But yeah, how is it that memes and jokes about yet another serious topic can actually be a good thing? How is it that they can have such a positive impact on us as members of society? Well, I can't get into that now, but I'll have more on the benefits of these types of memes, jokes, online content, as dark as their use of humor can sometimes be, in my third and final episode. I just want to thank you all again so much for listening, and stay tuned.
Hi, this is Ray Brown. You're listening to 91.3 FM, WCUW, Community Radio, on the web at wcuw.org.